So happy new year. Welcome to the January 10th meeting for the Runtime Config DB Data Persistency Project. We are going to be looking at the project proposal as we had been working on last time. In R6 also, we had agreed that this project would be subsumed within CCSDK. We had been presented to the architecture subcommittee. I also presented mentioned at the architecture subcommittee this past Tuesday that we've been working on this proposal, and so we'll continue to work on the proposal. We also probably want to think about some of the logistical stuff we need to do to like what we want to do in R6, right, with CCSDK. So let me just open up a thing here. I think Joanne said she had a school function for her daughter, so she said she might try to call in by telephone.
Joanne was on the other bridge.
Oh, she was on the other bridge, really? Oh, okay.
I don't know if people heard me, but I did mention that she sent the email.
Okay.
But if she's dialing in and she didn't have the email, then...
Yeah, so that's unfortunate. Does somebody maybe want to hop into the other bridge to see if there's still anybody there?
Yeah, I can give it a go. Bear with me.
Okay. So I'm making a page for today's meeting, and let me just copy it into the database here. Okay, I am going to edit again. And so where were we? We had said, talking about the calendar entry. So we're moving to, Eastern Standard Daylight Time. Weekly now, and it will be on this bridge here. It should be right now on the calendar, so. Okay. Okay, so the next thing we need to do actually is update the release requirements page as as M2 is coming on January 21.
Nobody left on the other bridge.
Okay, all right, great, thanks. So I am just going to find our project here in the release. Here it is, okay. And we got to give our M2 scorecard information. So do we have... I guess Yuri and Dan may have a better view. Do we, I mean, do you think there's any issue with what we're trying to accomplish, and do we have an understanding of what we want to do in R6? Do you have a view?
I think we understand what we want to do. I think the last time I spoke to Sandeep, the only question I had was, do we understand the scheme that we're building towards? And that would probably be expected for R2, R3, and I thought that he said, yeah, we kind of had that.
Okay. So, let's see, join.
So,
are we okay putting green? Should we put yellow, or is there?
I'm okay saying green.
Okay.
Mainly because I don't think it would be fair to put yellow because I'm not aware of an issue.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
And, you know,
well, let me write here that you were talking about the
since you know, as part of API freeze, I think that one of the things we would probably expect is that the schema of the runtime DB is defined, and I thought my understanding was that it is. Now, what I don't remember though is I don't remember seeing any commits to that effect. But if it's, and I'm not worried.
See any what to that effect? Sorry,
I didn't see any code defining it. But that's okay. I think for this milestone, as long as it's documented somewhere,
right.
We've met the milestone.
Okay.
And the one thing I will state somewhere in my stuff is for one of the asks that we've had, which I kind of am not crazy about, but one of the asks that we've had is, they want the SDKs, including CCSDK, to do a code drop at R3. And my expectation is that runtime DB wouldn't be part of that because, you know, it's new. Right, so we will have our code ready by code freeze, but not by API freeze. And I think that's okay because I don't think that anybody, I don't know that we have external dependencies that are relying on the code being there at R3. I mean, their concern is more about things like portal SDK, where people have to integrate with the portal as part of their code.
Okay.
Right. Or for the pieces of CCSDK that like AppC and SDNC are built on. Those we need to have ready. I said 2 weeks after R3 because it doesn't make logical sense to me. The code would be due the same day as requirements.
So do we have an action there? Is just, we need to make sure that people are aware, documented, that that's stated somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, as part of my R2, R3 deliverables, one of the items assigned to us is, you know, they're tracking all this stuff in Jira, and there's a Jira saying that, you know, we have to have code ready that day, and in the Jira, I'll document there that, you know, the plan is to deliver most of it 2 weeks after R3, runtime DB is an exception. That'll be delivered at code freeze.
Okay, great. And do you have a Jira number for that? What?
Hang on a second, let me find it.
Thanks.
I'll post it in the chat.
Okay. Okay, great, thanks. Okay, let's see. So there was a action item to come up with a proposal for what the new architecture would look like as part of CCSDK. I am not sure who is going to do that. Was that Sandeep? Who's probably on the conflicting. So the reason why we're moving it to 8 a.m. is we lose a lot of people who are on the other call right now. Yeah. Like we normally attend this call because of the daylight savings, they shifted to 9 a.m. And of course we didn't shift along with it. So, okay. I guess this is Sandeep is doing this.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so I guess, is there any other major point before we move on to the project proposal? All right, so I'll try to send an email to touch base with Sandeep and Joanne about this thing. Yuri, do you have any thoughts about inputs or slides or anything that we can use or pictures you want us to use for the proposal?
For the runtime DB component project?
Yeah, right. As being part of CCSDK.
There is one architecture wiki that you can update to include that component. I think, let me see if I can just provide that to you. Give me 1 minute.
Okay, that'd be good. Thanks. So do you want us to edit this now? Can we edit this as a group, or do you want to?
Yeah, I think we should edit it as a group. We have Dan here. I don't see Joanne, but we can, look at this together and edit it.
Sure.
And the diagram I was thinking of editing was on system deployment architecture, number 6.
Number 6.
If you scroll, not this one, I guess we can add a reference here for runtime DB, but if you go to section 6, yeah, system deployment architecture. And then here you want to add runtime DB as an application. Mm. And Dan, do you know if runtime DB is like a separate pod itself? Or it's part of SDNC?
I'm not sure what you mean by pod. It would be certainly a separate set of containers. It probably would be delivered in the Helm charts. It would probably be part of SDNC.
Okay. Yeah.
At least, yeah. Well, whatever. We have to figure it out because there is going to be a separate set of Helm charts for CCSDK, so that's probably where it belongs.
Okay, so it's a separate container, right? So if I do like kubectl minus n onap and get the all the pods, I'll see a pod for runtime DB.
Right. That would be, yeah.
So very good. So we need to add the runtime DB inside of the controller. Do you see the controller box? Can you edit that?
This one?
Yeah.
Cool. That's a cool widget. I didn't even know we had that on
the widget. The draw IO is excellent. It's excellent.
You want this as a separate box like these other things then? Or?
Yes. Add one more thing. That's a runtime DB. If you can put it on top, like where, on the right top. Can you expand that controller box?
Oops.
Yeah. And I guess you want to link it. And it should be bi-directional, I guess. Dan, do you think this is good? Does that capture what you're expecting?
Talking to mute. Yeah, I think that looks good.
Stop cooperating. Let's see. A lot of arrows going to this thing. Okay. Let me try to move it to sort of a more uniform space. Okay. All right. How does that look?
I think this is good. You just wanna let the Sandeep and Joanne to also see it and if they have any concerns.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Is that the only relationship that it has, or is it going to provide an interface outside STMC, or is it only going to be used by the controller?
For the current R6, I think it's only used by controller. For Frankfurt, my understanding. Benjamin, please keep us honest.
Yeah. Okay. Do we need to edit anything else up here or no? None of these interfaces change, right? I guess.
No, nothing else changes.
Okay. Do we need to mention anything here in the new release capabilities?
Yeah, you can mention that runtime DB is an independent component that is integrated with the ODL controller, as far as the NC controller. In Frankfurt release, yeah.
Okay, great.
Do you want me just to one thing, just can you mention also there, the runtime config DB capabilities are part of CCSDK.
Sure. Do you want me to link the project use case page?
Yeah, I think that'll be fine. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, great, thanks. All right, so let's move on to the proposal here. We've gotten quite far with the proposal here. And so we've gotten to a point where we're trying to describe basically what we want this thing to do in the long run, right? So basic concepts, setting it up and synchronizing information. A database schema, receiving information, its possible supported transactions, and writing and accessing information, publishing updates, synchronization, scalability, management functions, integrity, such as recovery, backup, restoration, rollback history. And last we ended was on some sort of API that could access the information. So let's start there. And so the consumer API is a consumer interface which would allow somebody authorized or an authorized system to access the database. Any system internal or external that's been authorized to communicate with the DB, and a consumer is defined as anything, human or machine, that is making use of the database. Does that sound reasonable? Okay, then a RESTful API is preferred but and is commonly used within ONAP. However, other possible API types and communication mechanisms could also be considered as well. okay. And then connectivity, the consumer API should support customers that are categorizes northbound, southbound, or westbound. Last time you recall, I showed a picture of those. I showed a picture of the API diagram, and we just said that there could be API interfaces, you know, northwest, south, or eastbound to ONAP. Is there anything else you want to say about the API that people can think of?
The only thing that I wanted to see somewhere is like a performance set of requirements that needs to be supported for this component. Do you have that captured anywhere?
Can you say a little more about what you mean?
Like a number of basically number of API requests to this component that is expected, right? How many concurrent requests What is the data size that needs to be returned? Are we gonna be sending the data in a binary format, or is it gonna be JSON, or is it gonna be ZIP, right? So those are the things I wanted to, I think we should capture so that it can be clarified.
Yeah, sure, no, that's good. I don't know that we mentioned that. I am just looking really quick. Well, that's good. I think we should have a section on performance. That's fine. So let me add that.
Is that part of the scalability?
Yeah, I think that that's scalability. It should align to scalability probably.
Let me put it after scalability. I think it's a good topic. Let me just add it after scalability. So the performance considerations for the database might include aspects such as the number of requests, number of parallel current requests that can be processed, and volume of data.
And can you also mention something about like prioritization as well? Because I'm assuming there could be clients that are going to have a higher prioritization.
Yeah. Sure. Okay, so let's see. The number of API requests that needs to be supported is a performance concern. Do we have any idea of what, I mean, does that depend on the, whether we have like an Edge ONAP or in, I guess they're just in one ONAP installation, what, I mean, the number of cores that we have, doesn't that affect the number of requests that can be processed.
That's a good question. I'm not sure if I can comment on that. I don't know, Dan, do you know? Would it have any, if the more requests you have, the more impact to the core it would be?
Presumably.
Yeah.
I mean, they're, you know, that would be one thing. But I mean, then also, on at really super high levels, the network speed could be an issue as well.
There's two aspects of this. I mean, do we want to be aspirational and put numbers in here? Because in reality, we won't know these numbers until we have something to verify. So do we have even a ballpark in which we think will be, do we have any idea of what the ballpark is? And should we have that, idea before we really start to drive this?
I think we should. The reason I say that is because whatever technology we pick in order to enable this component will probably depend on that those set of numbers. Otherwise, you'll be refactoring to the testing and to the.
I'm using hash as a kind of a point we need to investigate. So let's leave this as something, let's try to find a number if we can, and I'll leave that as an open point, and I'll mark it as an action item for us to figure out.
Even if the number is just a test.
It really does tie in as well with the scalability. I mean, if you go partitioning, then
somebody
has to figure out in which partition the data is going to be.
Right.
And all, it's a very complex thing. I mean, so I do accept that we should have something to aspire to. But you should also then relate that to a single instance deployment, and then talk in the horizontal scalability. We had something about that we wouldn't introduce massive overhead to the performance as a result of horizontally scaling.
Yeah, I mean, well, probably a good approach might be for the initial release to set a test to number, and then. In subsequent releases, we'll probably have to have a plan for horizontal scaling.
Yeah.
Right, because, you know, if I learned anything about performance, it's you always guess wrong. So.
Yeah.
But, okay. But I think it was Yuri. I think Yuri's correct. We do need to have something to aim for. Thanks for taking that action. Dan. And then should we have a target for the resources, the compute resources required for a single instance?
So I'm not sure, do we have a target? We probably don't know a target number, do we? Okay. I'll just leave that as an open point.
Now, this one is also very interesting. If we're having, ultimately, that this will be model-driven, because the runtime DB itself won't be responsible for determining the size of the data returned. That will be down to a combination of the client reading and the model defined, the schema. So right now it's fairly clear because the schema is going to be set in Frankfurt. But if we want it to be model driven, then the schema will be variable. So therefore the amount of data returned will be variable. And so too will the client. So it's important to try and separate what is the responsibility of the runtime DB and what is the responsibility of the users of the runtime DB. And in this case, if it's model driven, it's going to be a little bit mixed, a little bit blurred, or a little bit harder.
Yeah, we might need just for software, you know, and performance purposes, just to get it might help to get sort of a worst case scenario, what might be a very large return size and work it into some rough back of the envelope calculations, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have to start somewhere and then we can improve it. But maybe it's worth saying that in the performance section that the figures at this stage are finger in the air guesstimates and that there's a lot of variables in here and that as we evolve, we will iterate and tighten these figures up.
So we should, I think all of these, I don't know that we have numbers per se, but they are all things we need to think about. So the query data is returned is important. Consider if the sending, the data might be sent in binary format or JSON. So during times of congestion, there might be a need to, or a strategy, there might need to be a strategy for prioritizing requests. I assume both incoming and outgoing requests, I suppose. Does anybody have any thoughts on this?
Again, very, very much tied into the scalability. So if you're doing replication, then, for example, there's an ideal way you can reserve instances for particular users, and that gives them priority. But then that makes the replication a higher priority again than... and, of course, you brought in the read-write access as well. So if you want consistency across and how fast you want consistency. So we're opening up a can of worms here, and it is a can of worms that absolutely has to be dealt with. But I think from a project proposal perspective, we need to create some texture that allows us to be a little bit fuzzy.
Yeah.
So that we get a chance to think about this, because I don't think we're trying to do a full architectural design with all the trades analysis in this document.
Right.
So I fully accept that we need to do something here, but I just think we need to have it a little bit loose.
So maybe we should say that to be a little noncommittal, I mean, do we want to say something that's not necessarily a fixed prioritization thing that we're proscribing, but rather that maybe if necessary, there should be some sort of strategy that could be employed based on the size and scale and of the request.
The other option could be to limit the number of requests per user, rate limiting we used to call. This could be an option if automatic scalability is not in place. So that maybe we can check during implementation.
Okay. Maybe to Tom's point, maybe we say this proposal does not prescribe a specific prioritization strategy.
Yeah, I think we have to do things like that in this whole performance section.
Right.
That we have to have something to aim for and work required to actually do that. But figures, they can't come just yet. They have to be iterative.
Yeah, okay. Any comments on any of this on the performance section? Okay, we were looking at the consumer API before Kingsley joined, and I think we're kind of done with that. Did anybody have any other further thoughts on that? Okay, if not, we had kind of went back and forth and hashed out a definition between storage versus ownership. We said that DB stores the data, provides persistency, and gives access to the data. The information is created, defined, and used by other ONAP components, and thus the ownership and lifecycle management is the actual responsibility of that other ONAP component. So this is brought up in a number of points. It was brought up in the architecture subcommittee. It was brought up when we were trying to define, notably, the role this had with architecture. We kind of went back and forth on this, so we didn't want to lose this point, and we spent some time sort of wordsmithing this. And we just want to emphasize that the database itself doesn't own the data, but it you know, and other components can access that data. we're just the steward of the data. So I am just thinking where that might go, or if we need it to be its own section.
I think it's a fundamental principle of what we're attempting to do here.
Yeah, I totally agree. Let me see. Maybe it should be in a basic concept. What do you think?
I would go with that, yes. I agree.
Yeah, okay. Oh my gosh, would that be okay? Shoot.
Ben, just one question on this ownership part. ConfigDB is going to be the central component which will be taking reads and writes, right? Or
yeah.
At least the write part. Yeah, so that's ownership is going to be, or it should be lying with only one master, right?
Well, I think that could be defined. So we have, well, if we've drawn pictures, let me see if I can show you real quick here. So I think what I think is that there will be something that indicates kind of who owns something and who could be the master of that thing. So that's that sort of source of truth and maybe the thing that it's associated with. I'm not sure we've solved that yet. This is just a general concept, and maybe we need to add something else somewhere to address how we actually manage that. So I guess this is a basic principle, right?
Yeah, Ben. So, sorry, the point I just wanted to confirm is, even if you take one single schema or one single database, right? So if we consider a schema partitioning, for example, I am a service A, for example, I am a SDNR, and I am going to cover certain model aspects. Then whatever DB partition or DB schema, set of tables, let's say, which I'm going to create and I'm going to populate, I'll be the only master to populate that. No one else will be populating into my tables. It should be that way, right?
That's a permission issue. I mean, we have that on the in terms of the access control that was mentioned elsewhere in here. So as part of your ownership, when you define the schema, you define who else can write or who else can read. That's a choice.
I'm coming from this cloud native design principles, right? So one of the main principles
is... This is absolutely against cloud native principles. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
It's totally against cloud native. And ultimately, I mean, there's value in having this kind of shared repository with shared repository component with access control. There's value in it, but it is very much opposed to the classic microservices architecture where everything is exposed just by the microservices itself. And this is an architectural style or pattern, both a value, both a flourish, that needs to be thrashed out. And we had that at some of the Arch committee discussion. This was brought up and discussed very, very briefly. I don't know that everybody got that there was this mismatch in architectural style between microservices and a shared runtime config DB. So the ability to understand and control access is the only way that I can see that you can balance that.
Somehow I feel the data integrity cannot be managed, or you mean to say via performance permission management, certain users can be restrained from writing into the same schema, is it? That's...
So I think maybe we want to leave that kind of open. I just want to say that, you know, as Tom says, I mean, there's something is going to have the ability to specify access, and I'm not sure I want to say there's just a single master. I mean, there might be two masters, and I know that opens up the possibility for race conditions, but I think maybe we don't necessarily want to close the book on, you know, it might be possible that multiple things might need to access or update a piece of data. But I think we do want to say that our fundamental principle is that, you know, we're just the steward of the data. We're not the actual owner of that data. I don't think that this runtime config.db isn't creating any new data. It's just simply a place to store data, and that something else is going to own it. And probably a solution that we come up with will indicate who owns that data, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. I think we're at time here. So any last final thoughts before we close?
Don't forget to save.
Yeah, right. Okay, I will upload the recording, and as usual, our minutes will be at the bottom of the project page, so you can you'll be able to get access to it from our basic project page. Okay, thank you, everybody. Have a great day and Happy New Year.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks. Bye.
And next week will be 1 hour earlier at 8 a.m. Thanks.
Okay.